Okay, today's daf is Psachim daf Samach Vav. Samach Vav. 66 here, Maseches Psachim and Perakates at Solon. We have two daf left here to the seventh Perak of Maseches Psachim. And, we will start with the Gemara here on Samach Chayim Abeis. The Mishnah just spoke about what happens if a limb of the Karban Pesach goes out, Yotza Miksaso. It goes out, so there's a Psol Yotze. Psol Yotze we know is a Psol that applies to all karbanas, to Karban Pesach, it applies in a unique way, because you not only have a psul yotze from Yerushalayim, but you also have a psul yotze from the chabura that one is in. So as we'll see. So chotech, what do you do if it goes out? So you cut the meat up until you get to the bone, and then you roll it back, and then you cut it at the joint. Right? We just spoke about this right beforehand. You don't cut it in the middle, because maybe you'll break the bone underneath, and then you'll break the bone a little further down underneath where the meat is, and that will be an Issur D'oraisa. But that's only by Karban Pesach. By Kachim, there's no Issur breaking the bone, so you just cut it at that spot. Kotzeitz B'kofetz. And the second half of the Mishnah we had about borders, Min Ha'agaf, we'll get to that B'Hashem a little bit later in the Gemara. It says the Gemara of Simon, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, B'Shem Bar Pidaya. Ha'pigol v'hanosar. Pigol and Nosar, we'll see what this has to do with our Mishnah. Pigol and Nosar, which we know are two Isurim, Isurei Achila, they are not Tame. Midaraisa, Pigol and Nosar are not Tame. There are many things that are Asur to eat that are not Tame. Trefa is Asur to eat, but it's not Tame. Nevela is Asur to eat and is Tame. But Pigol, and if I think about a carbon to do a later Avoda, Chutz Lizmano, Nosar, if I leave over the carbon, both of those are an Isur Karis to eat, they're not Tame, but Midrabanan, Chazal say that they are Tameh. Mitztarfin, L'tameh Seidaimra, this is the Mishnah later on, that we'll get to, in terms of Pigol being Tameh, the last daf in Psachim, we'll get to later on, discusses this as well. So says the Gemara, Mitztarfin, L'tameh Seidaim, even though Midaraisa, they're not Tameh, Midarabana, we say they're Tameh. Why? Because we don't want the Kohen to have Bimafagel, right? Hopefully, as we said, Kohanim, and the people are very makbid on Tumah Tahara. So we don't want the Kohen to be dealing, we want the Kohen to be Mizaris and make sure that there's no Nosar left over, no karma left over. Therefore, we'll say, if you're holding Nosar, it's going to make your hands Tame, right? Tumas Yadayim, which is a constant Midrabana, Midaraisa, either a person is Tame or a person is Tahar. You don't have a part of one's body being Tame, part of one's body being Tahar. But Midrabana you have. So the Rabbanan said that Nosar, we're going to say, is Tameh, so that you are Mizaris and don't allow it to become Nosar. And Pigol, so hopefully you won't try to think about a different Zman for the Avoda. And if your hands become Tameh, then you won't want that to happen. And therefore, this hopefully will be an encouragement that to prevent these statuses. So Pigol and Nosar, they are Mitztaref. Even though they are two different Yisurim, they can combine L'tameis Yadayim to create Tumas Yadayim if a Kohen is holding a half of a shear of Pigol and half a shear of Nosar. Ad k'day onshan b'kezayis. What shear do you use? You use the shear that they would have of Onish Achila, which is a kezayis, and that's the shear to be L'tameis Yadayim. Again, Midaraisa, these are two separate Yisurim, and the Mishnah Megillah says two different Yisurim are not mitzarif to each other. If you have a half a kezayis of Pigol and half a kezayis of Nosar and you eat them, you're not going to get punished for that, because that's two chatzi shears. They're not mitzarif to each other. It's not like even, as we have mentioned, treif and nevela, which are mitzarif to each other, because that has at root maybe the same shem iser. But pigol and osur are two different isurim, and therefore they are not mitzarif for the iser achila. But in the world of Durabanan, where the Rabbanan created that they're both tamei, they could combine for the world of tuma. Ask the Gemara Maushi if sulu betruma. Does the pigol and osur, if they touch truma, will they ruin it? Right? Will they make it and tame, and therefore you'd have to burn it? Ma'ashi yifslu b'truma, as the Gemara says, kal v'chomer, right? The carbon agent, im nagu pigol v'noser b'truma. Right? Maybe you might say that the whole thing is about encouragement of the Kohanim to be mizares and to not think pigol. Maybe it's a special din that only the Kohen's hands, only the and they become a shniya l'tuma. Right? That's what he uses the lashon here of posel possibly. So the Gemara says, kal v'chomer. For sure, Pigol and Osar should make Truma Tameh. Why? Because after all, Pigol and Osar make a Kohen's hands Tameh, and they make them into a Sheni. And those hands will be Metameh Truma to make it into a Shlishi. So Kavachomer, in Metameh, say, Adayim lifts all but Truma. If this Pigol and Osar are Metameh the hands of a Kohen, which then can make truma pasul, he nasma lakol shekin. So surely it should be able to be direct bimatame. If it could pasul hands to be pasul truma, so surely it should pasul truma itself. So therefore, yes, so we say pigle and osar are mitame truma. Hahen, which also would mean kavachomer, because to foreshadow for the next line, and they would be mitame kachim. Right, because kachim is even more susceptible to tuma than truma is. As we know, truma can only become a shlishi, kachim can become a revi'i. So if the Gemara is saying that pigle and osar here, not only matami yes yadayim, for they're also matami truma, they're also matami kachim. So the Gemara says, hahein yotze maya davidle. And what about yotze? And this is all leading up to a question or a proof from our Mishnah. What about a yotze? So did the Rabbanan make that tame also? No sar is tamei midrabanan. Pigol is tamei midrabanan. What about yotze? Right. Often these psulim are put together. Do we say that yotze also needs a gzera or a din to be matamei yadayim? Or people aren't gonna maybe call him. Nobody's taking it outside. That's too much of a. You know, maybe they'll be lazy and they won't eat all of it, and that's why you need it by no sar. And maybe pigol. You know, people don't notice. You know, it's just what I'm thinking. And maybe machlokas Rashi Tosfos, you have to be say it. But either way, it's not a maisa, like taking it outside. So maybe that doesn't need a din drabanan. Right? Look at the bottom Pnei Moshe. Le'imayat avele lin tumas yadayim. Im dino kapigol v'nosar. Do you say it's tamim midrabanan? O dilma mikivan de leslan lemeimar de asila fuke b'miskavein. People aren't going to take it out b'miskavein. Lo gazru be'rabanan tuma. Rabbanan Warrenbo didn't go there. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says now, these two questions are mutually exclusive. The answers to these questions, and the raya is going to be from our Mishnah. That's why this is all asked here. Again, question one was, are pigle and osar mitame truma, or pigle and osar mitame kachim? Question one. And number two, what about a psul yotze? Is yotze included? So the Gemara is going to say, let's read it, itemar hahein yotze mitame isi adayim, if you answer yes to question number two, if you say yotzi is metame, pigol v'nosar ain't impossible mitruma, then you have to ask her no to question number one. Itemar, pigol v'nosar, skip the next word, postal mitruma. And if you say pigol v'nosar are postal truma, if you answer yes to question number one, hahein yotzi lo gazer olav klum, then you have to answer no to question number two. They're two mutually exclusive questions. Why? Why would you say that? Why can they go together? Says the Gemara, because of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah proves that the answers to these questions have to be yes and no, and not yes, yes. Delokain, because if you did not say this, if the issues were not mutually exclusive, then what does our Mishnah say? But if you have a Korban Pesach, what do you do if half of it goes out? You just cut it, then you pull it back, and then you cut it, then you dislocate it, so to speak, at the joint. But one second, if you say that yotze is in this category of tame and matame, so then one second, I took half of this limb out of the proper place. So that half now is tame midrabanan, and that half is now touching the other part that I'm cutting off. What do you mean? You got to cut it and put it in. Whatever is in is in. Whatever is out is out. But what do you mean? It's touching. And therefore, if you say answer question number two as yes, that yotze is metame. And if you answer question number one, that pigol nosar and yotze are all going to be metame, something that they're touching, then how does our Mishnah say that you cut it, then you pull it back? Whatever is inside is still tahar and kosher, and whatever is outside is not. Delokein, now let's read all of that in one line. Yitami tzarachitzon letzarapanimi. Then the outer side should be metame, the inner side. And shouldn't be able to just cut it and separate it. So it must be, says the Gemara, that these two questions are mutually exclusive. Again, if you say yotze is included, yotze is metame, then you would say that, oh, it's only metame hands. It's not metame basar, because then your solution in the Mishnah to save what's inside wouldn't work. Right? So that's why these have to be mutually exclusive. Answers the Gemara, maybe not. There's another option, Amar Rebbe Yavin. There's another option of why in our Mishnah, the Yotze, even if you want to say Yotze is Tame, and Yotze is generally Mitame, true man kachim, there's still a reason why in this case it wouldn't be. Because remember, in this case, it's not like two different things touching each other. It's not like a piece of pigle is touching Truma. Two different things. Here it's one piece. It's one chaticha. Amar Rebbe Yavin, Man Islay Davar Tame, Machmas Atzmo, Lo Rebbe Meir. What is that referring to? There's a machlokas in the Mishnah in Kalim in the 27th parak. If you have a tumas beis hastarim, meaning you have something like this, you have a one piece of slab of meat. So is, and one half it becomes tame. So where is it touching? Maybe it's viewed as only touching inside. To base a starim, and that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas whether that's tummy or not. So the Gemara here is suggesting maybe our Mishnah is not following the sheet of Rabbi Meir, which davar tummy machmas atzmo, but is following Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi there says it is not tummy if it's touching itself. That's considered base a starim, and therefore that's why our Mishnah would say that you're allowed to cut it. Mapa, you can answer yes to both questions. You could say, Pigel, Nosar, and Yotze are all Tami Midrabanan. Right? Even Yotze. It's answering question two, yes. But you could also say it's Batame Truma. But it's only Batame Truma if it's a separate piece, two pieces touching each other. But if it's the same item, then it's not. The Mishnah there is not talking about meat. It's talking about a beged. So I'm going to beg it. The Mishnah there says, Perachav Zayin, Mishnah Yud, here in Kalim. Shloshal, Shlosha, Shenechlak. If you have a beged of 3x3 tvachim, that would became Tame, Medris Hazav. Zav sat on a beged, right, a blanket, Tahar, and then you split it in half. So it's smaller than that now, so it loses its tumma. It loses its tumma because it's now no longer fit for what it was fit for before. Tahar mina Medris. It's no longer Medris. Right, because, and therefore it's no longer an avatoma medris, aval tame maga medris. But the Tanakhama here says, or Meir says, but it was touching itself. So when you cut it in half, you're right, it no longer has the original tuma that it had, but it was touching itself, and therefore it's tame as if it touched a medris hazav. That's the Tanakhama. So one item cut in half, you view it as if it touched each the other half, and therefore it's tame. Amar Rabbi Yossi, v'chi me'eze medris nagazeh. What kind of touching is this? This is not touching, right? Negia of shel atzmo is not called the negia, and therefore, once the tuma evaporates, the tuma evaporates. Ella imkei naga bo hazav tami magazav. If a zav comes over and touches this, then it's going to be tame. But it doesn't become tame by touching the other side of itself. So that's what the Gemara says here. Rabbi Avin says, right? Who says davar hatami magazav? That's Rabbi Meir, but maybe our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, the second shita in that Mishnah. Who says that that's why it wouldn't be Matami. And therefore, you could still answer yes to both questions that the Gemara asked. Said the Gemara, no, I don't think that's a good answer. Because I think even Rabbi Yossi would agree in our case. Lo kenam Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, kol hadvarim tahorim beruban? If you have an item that you then separate and cut it, it's tahor right when you cut most of it. Kol hadvarim tahorim beruban. When you rip most of it, when you cut most of it, so then it is considered fully cut and two separate entities. So says the Gemara, Kivan Shachitech Ruban Lavka Parashu. Right? Well, let's say in our Mishnah, we're trying to put Rabbi Yossi into our Mishnah. Well, you cut the piece of meat, right? Half of it went outside. You cut the piece of meat, and then the Gemara just suggested, oh, this is like Rabbi Yossi, that if it's one piece, so it's not Matame. But 1 second, once you cut most of it, so then most of it is considered separate. It's considered open. It's considered separated totally, and it's still touching. It's still touching. Right? The whole Svar of Rabbi Yossi, that it's in itself, it's considered base hastarim. It's considered a hidden type of touching. But here, once you cut most of the meat, then it's considered parush. And if it's considered parush, then whatever is still touching it is considered out in the open. And therefore, v'yehei kemagiebo v'yehei pasol. So it's as if it's maga magula. So even Rabbi Yossi would say tame in that case. Even Rabbi Yossi would say tame. Right, says the Karbon Eid. Hakimish Achotech Harov Hashar Nami Kachatuch. For who Kinogabo? For Lo Mikri Beis Astarim. Right, so we're back to the original point, and that is, so you can't say Rabbi Yossi is the reason that one half is not Matami, the other half of the Mishnah. So why would you say one half is not Matami, the other half? Either for one of two reasons, meaning the two questions that the Gemara asked at the beginning. You can't answer yes to both of those questions. Maybe Yotze is not Tami Midrabban. Only Pigel and Osir is. That's why it's not a problem in our Mishnah. Or even if you want to say Yotze is Tamei Midrabanan, it's only Matame Yadayim. It's not Matame other pieces of meat. So the Gemara says you have to go back to that right now. Again, to say that the two questions, you can't answer yes to both questions. The Gemara now says, no, maybe not. Amar Ebchananya b'mechate kol shehu umashlech. No, there's never, maybe it is Rabbi Yossi. But the possibility of that once you cut rove, it's all open, that doesn't happen here. Because maybe what the case is talking about, where you cut a little bit and you throw it away. You cut a little bit, throw it away. You don't have a piece of meat that's mostly separated. The meat's not there anymore. Every time you cut a little piece, you throw it. So you'll always have robes still attached, so it'll always be considered based on starim, and that's why you wouldn't be able to, what one wouldn't be metame the other half. It's like Rabbi Yossi. And Adkan, the Gemara doesn't answer the question about this second case, whether Yotze is possible metame siyadayim or not metame es hayadayim. Good. Says the we paskin that is metame siyadayim, but Gemara doesn't answer it beferish. Good. Says the Gemara now, Rebbe Ba b'shem Rebbe Yehuda, in the middle of Samach Vav and Aleph. Now we're getting back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah quoted from the door, like what's considered Yotze. From the door in is in, from the door out is out. What about in the door? What about in the door? So, Amar Rebbe Ba b'shem Rebbe Yehuda, lo kitshu tachas ha'aguf shebi Yushalayim. The under the door, in the width of the doorway, it's not Kadosh. It's not Kadosh. In Yerushalayim. Meaning the door, the gates of Yerushalayim. Sometimes we have these very thick gates. It's not kadosh. Rav Yirmiyah, b'shem Rav Shmuel, bar Rav Yitzchak. Why isn't it kadosh? Kidei shiyu mitzuran meginim tachtem. So that the mitzuran, we know mitzuran has to be outside of all three machnos, outside the city. So he's outside the city, and let's say it's really hot or it's really cold, and he wants the protection. So he's all the way outside. There's no houses out there, so at least we could give him the protection of in these gates. So that's what it says, so that the mitzuran could go in, b'chama, b'bnei achama, u'b'ksham, b'nei akshamim, to be protected from the sun, to be protected from the rain. That's why the city borders, the gates of the city, the doorways of the city, are not kadosh, with kedushas Yerushalayim, so that a mitzuran can go in. V'dechfasa, similarly, lo kitshu tachas ha'aguf shel harabayis. The doorways going into harabayis are also not Niskadesh, why? Kadesh yu zavim meginim tachtayim b'cham ne'cham v'ksham ne'cshamim, so that the zavim, right, those who have tumah hayotze megufo, they have to be out of harabayis. They don't have to be out of Yerushalayim, they have to be out of harabayis. So that's why, if they're out of harabayis, they might want to take protection from the rain or from the sun or from the elements, and therefore, we are not metame, we are not mekadesh those areas. Those areas are considered a chutz. So the gates of Yerushalayim are considered, within the gates of Yerushalayim are considered chutz, and within the gates of Har HaBayis are considered chutz. Says the Gemara, I don't understand the two. Find the first one, Mitzora, but Zav? Says the Gemara, Mitzora ain lo hecha mahagin. By a Mitzora, I understand why you have to leave those open for the Mitzora to come in, because there's nothing outside the city. So you need some type of protection so you can come in. Zav, yesh lo hecha mahagin, b'chol Yerushalayim. A Zav, what are you talking about? A Zav is allowed to walk around all Yerushalayim. He just can't go onto Har HaBayis. So any Azov needs a place for protection? He has plenty of places for protection. So I don't understand why there would be a parallel there. Why would we say that he needs that spot? Rabbi Yochanan bar Madia b'shem Rabbi Pinchas, min mad anan chami rabbanan, shalchin sadaleihon, tachas agav shal harabayis, from the fact that we see the rabbis, when they go onto harabayis, they take off their shoes and they put it under, there's like, it must be a special section and place to put shoes under the doorway of harabayis. So hada amr shal kishu tachas agav shal harabayis. It must be that they weren't niskadesh under the aguf. So we assume under and on top also that their area is not niskadesh. So fine, you couldn't prove it from the fact that, oh, a zav means a place for protection. But haraya, pukhazi, you see what Rabbanan do? They keep their shoes there, and therefore it's not niskadesh, right? You have to take off your shoes when you go to a makam kadosh. Right, that's what's clear. It says that in the Mishnah in Brachas, and it reflects it here too. Right, why is that? Why do you have to take off your shoe? The first conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, the first thing they ever said to each other, Hashem says to Moshe, take off your shoes. Right after he says Moshe, and he says Hineni, take off your shoes. What's so crucial about taking off your shoes in the Makom Kadosh? So we mentioned before the Marshal, quoting the Shlach HaKadosh, who says that we say every morning, Sh'asali Kol Tzarki. Constantly called Sarki. And the poskim say we should think about our shoes. And they used to say that when they put on their shoes. Why dafka shoes? What do shoes have to do with a sha'asali called Sarki? So the suggestion made is that we know that the Rishon and the Kuzari list the four levels of being. Domim, Someach, Chai, Medaber. Domim, the inanimate objects. The Someach, the growers that come out of the domain. Chai, the animal kingdom. Medaber, the speakers, the humans. So those four, we, human beings, are on top of that pyramid. On top of that pyramid, which symbolizes that we use everything under us to exist and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We use every level, uses what's underneath. The plants live in use the dirt, and animals eat the plants, and people use the animals and eat the animals. So everything on top, it shows our dominion. putting on shoes is an act that reflects that. Putting on shoes reflects our dominion over the animals, because shoes are halachically leather. Leather comes from animal hide. So therefore, that's what putting on shoes symbolizes, and that's shasli called tzarki. Hashem does everything for me. That's when I put on my shoes, because that symbolizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's allowing everything in the world to be for me to serve Him with. When you're in a Makom Kadosh, you take off your shoes, because this is not a place I have dominion. I don't have dominion here in Beis HaMikdash. I don't have dominion when Kohanim go up to Duchen. They're in the Beis HaMikdash. I thought maybe you could suggest also Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we take off our shoes because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's day. Right? The Gemara in Yuma, the Bavli, Dav Chaf, right? HaSatan is Gematria 364, because there's one day that the Satan has no power. And that's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Hashem's zone. And therefore, we don't wear, another reason, not just Inui, but another reason we don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Maybe I thought also you could say Avelus, Avelim don't wear shoes in that way, because they're recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And it's a reflection of emuna that we realize Hashem's in charge. I'm not the balabas here, and therefore I take off the shoes. So that's what it says here. Back to our Gemara. The Rabbanan took off their shoes and put it under the agav, so it must be the doorway doesn't have a kedusha. Rav Shaul Rabbi Chiya Rabba Gagos Yerushalayim Mahein. What about the roofs of Yerushalayim? We're dealing what has kedusha, what doesn't have kedusha. So we just spoke about the doorways of Yerushalayim, the doorways of Har Habayis. What about the roofs? The roofs of the buildings of the apartments in Yerushalayim. Amar lei, min ma de matlan matzla, from the fact that people say the following mashal, pischa b'zesa, everybody eats the kazayas of Korban Pesach, v'halela misvar igraya, and Hallel breaks open the roof. So doesn't that mean that they were on the roof, and the song that broke open the roof, so to speak? So had the amar, b'gagos Yerushalayim kodesh, so wouldn't that reading, meaning, you read the whole thing on the Igraya, right? The Pischa Bezesa is also on the Igraya. So doesn't that show that all your slime is Kodesh, even the roofs? The Gemara says, Lav Dafka, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Maisha, Rabbi Shmuel, Barav Yitzchak, B'Shem Rav, Gagal Yishlaim Chol. No, it could very well be that Gagal Yishlaim are not Kadosh. They're not sanctified. They're profane. They're regular, so to speak. How do you read the Mishnah? You put a big comma in the Mishnah. Karan Pesach Bezesa inside the house. And then Hallel, Misbar Igraya, when you have Hallel, then you jump on it, you move up. You move up. It's one of the, I think the Bar Yosef suggests that's one of the reasons we open the, after the Afikomen, we open the door, right? To kind of show that now we can go out and now we're not limited, because of the Karban Pesach. Good. So the Gemara said, what do you say about Gagos? We try to bring a Raya from that mashal that it's Kodesh, and we say no Raya. Vataninan, okay, so now let's get to our Mishnah. Maybe our Mishnah could be a Raya, because what does our Mishnah say? Mina agaf alefnim kilefnim. Everything inside from the doorway is like Yerushalayim. Everything. So what do we assume that means? Everything. Even the first floor, or the ground floors, or the upstairs, the 20th floor, everything. Right, so that's what the diyuk. Fatanim min agav lafnim kilafnim min agav lachutz kilachutz. Everything is like the inside. That's what we think. Banim carbon eidah. Mashma kol mashu lafnim min agav kilafnim via filu hagagin. Sounds like even the gagin, even the roofs are kilafnim. Answer no. Maybe those are talking about different certain types of roofs. Pater la begag mevutzar la avir chatzer he mas nisa. Maybe we're talking about a roof that's low down. Level with a field. Let's say it's on a mountain. So if you have a roof that's very low down on the top of the house, the roof is level with the ground, next to it. So maybe that's where we would say that has kedusha. Cause that's like ground. That is ground. That's where you can eat the Karban Pesach there. But not, more than that. Not more than that. If it's a regular roof, I've had tanin on hachalonos vovi achomakalafim. Right. The Mishnah says also, later on, that the windows and the tops of the walls are like inside, right? So doesn't that prove also? Odi begag, doesn't that prove that even the upper floors? No, odi begag mevutzer lavir chatzi masisa. Again, maybe it's talking about a very low one, a low roof, a low wall. If it's a low wall and that wall is similarly leveled to the ground, that's why it's all out. Va'asya kehi. Rav Acha b'shem Rabbi Chinuna, and this dichui would fit with the following. Vayav al chel v'choma, the pasuk in Echa, shura ubar shura. It talks about a higher wall and a lower wall. A higher wall and a lower wall. And therefore, so it's the lower wall. The top of the lower wall would be lower level, and that would be considered like ground. But we still don't have an answer to the question of What about the upper stories? Upper stories. We paskin elsewhere. Gagan, and the roofs are or lonis kachu. We're lonis kachu. That's the Gemara in Makkos. Gemara in Makkos talks about this. About eating Meister Sheni in a tree. Right? That was the sugi is the Meister Sheni. They have a tree on the edge of a near Miklat, and the Gemara went into on the edge of, here it is, Yud Beis in Makkos. You're eating Meister Sheni in a tree. So the Gemara says, Tosfos there says, Tema, because if you look in the end of Ketzat Solon, that's our sugya. Look in the end of Ketzat Solon in the Bavli, Gagos Lonis Kachu. So what are you eating Meister Sheni in the tree for? You can't eat Meister Sheni in the tree. Tosfos there gives two answers. Number one, maybe it's a case where it's very, very few branches, very few leaves. So they're not chashav at all. So it's ke'ilu, you're in the physical air, but it's ke'ilu, you're on the floor. Meaning there's no separate level. Vavi ke'ilu omedes ba'avir k'negad karka. You're like in the air above the ground, that's for sure is okay, says Tosfos. Or you say, no, the avir is like Yerushalayim. If you look in the Ritva there, the Ritva says maybe there's a chilek between Meister Sheni and Kashikalam. Right, Meister Sheni, maybe you could eat in the tree. But here we're talking about Kanshim. That's different. Says the Ritva. Lo Kasha, Tibi Psachim Bekashim Kalim, Shehechmiru Bekach, for Loba Meister Hakal. Loba Meister Hakal. Important, fundamental, chilek. We continue. Im Ovi Achoma Kitshu Koshkin Bechalon. I understand. The Mishnah says there that the Ovi Achoma is Niskadesh. That's the top. So a window which is under it, kolshkin echalon. What's the chiddush of saying chalon? Amar of acha bechalon shal gabi agof nisrucha. Now we're talking about a case where you have the doorway, which we said is not niskadish, and now on top of the doorway you have the window. So afa gav the tamer lo kitchu tachas agav shushalim. Even though we said underneath they put their shoes there, it wasn't niskadish. Chalon shal gabi agof kitchu, but the window on top it was niskadish. That's the chiddush. To say that in the Mishnah. Tani b'shem Rabbi Yehuda. So we spoke about up, now let's talk about down. Mechilos shetachas haheichal cho. The tunnels that are under the heichal do not have the status of heichal. The gagos haheichal kodesh. But the gagos are kodesh. Underneath is chol, on top is kodesh. At least to a certain regard, it's kodesh. Rabbi Imi b'shem Rabbi Shimon Lakish, masnisa amarkein. The Mishnah in Tamid, the first Mishnah in Tamid, reflects and proves this idea that the mechilos underneath the heichal are chol. Why? Because what does it talk about there? Medura is Hashem, ubeis hakisei shel kaved. There was a fire to warm up the kohanim if they came out of the mikvah there underneath the ground, and there was a bathroom there, and it was called an honorable bathroom. Beis hakisei shel kaved. V'zei kvoda. What was so honorable about it? Matzo na'ul. If somebody, it had a lock on it. That's what made it kavedik. Matzo na'ul. They find that it's locked. Yodei she'isham adam. You don't have to talk and ask, hello, anybody in there? No, you don't have to make somebody talk when they're in the bathroom. If they find it locked, they'll wait. Yodei she'isham adam. Pasuach. If it's open, yodua she'isham adam. It's open. You know there's nobody there. So would there be a bathroom in a place that it was niskadesh? So it must be Mechilos on his Kanshu. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. The fact that there's a Beis HaKiseh there means that it wasn't Niskadesh. Says the Gemara, why is that? Am Rabbi Yosef, v'chit soa betuma, follow enel and akias. A bathroom? Everyone needs the bathroom. That's not just because it's Niskadesh. It doesn't mean there won't be a bathroom there. Right? Going to the bathroom is not tumah. There's no tumah when one goes to the bathroom. You don't have to go to the mikveh every time you go to the bathroom. So therefore, says the Gemara, there's no raya from that Mishnah in Tamid that the mechilos were lo niskadish. Where else do we have a raya? Let's just finish, so we'll come back. Vaidam ardam, maybe here, from the following. Because the Mishnah says, Yosef olech lo bemesiba, where somebody becomes a balkeri. So he becomes a balkeri underneath. So what does he do? He tries to go out. He has to get to the mikvah. So Yosef olech lo bemesiba, he goes through a tunnel. Ha'olech has tachas ha'bira. It goes under the bira. We had a machlokas earlier, if you remember what the bira is. The neros dolkin mikana mikani. He had lights on both sides. And he went there, ran it round and around and around until he got to the mikvah. Im kodeshu yechla b'ksara. And if it was really kadosh, you would come and get the fastest way out. You wouldn't build a tunnel that goes back and forth and back and forth and zigzags. So the fact that he's not, the Mishnah does not describe, you have to go out quickly, very fast, the shortest way, it must be that these areas of mechilos were not niskadesh. We said before, I think we might have learned that Beis HaKiseh shel kaved. If it's just a basic need like the bathroom, that's not tumah. That's a basic human need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands basic human needs. He understands that. Remember that Gemara in Shabbos in the Bavli Daf Peites, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bargaining and asking the Avos, do you have any way to defend Klal Yisrael? Avram doesn't, and Yaakov doesn't. Only Yitzchak does, and Yitzchak's going through all the math about the defense of Klal Yisrael. How much did they sin the first 20 years? They're not punished. So we're down from 70 to 50. And then another 25 years, they're sleeping. They have their life. So we only have 25 left. And then the other half, knock off another half because they're involved in their basic human needs. And remember what the Gemara says there, Shabbos, Peites, and Mabez, eating, bathroom, davening. Davening. That's a basic human need. But that's a great line by itself. But for our purposes, oh, just that it's considered a basic human need, and therefore it would not be considered tumah. Says the Mishnah. Let's just read the Mishnah. Shtecha, at least part of it. Shtecha b'rishay ochlas b'bayis echad. If two chaburas are eating together in one house, they're eating one Karban Pesach. They're allowed to split it to two. They're two families. They're sharing a Karban Pesach, but they want to eat separately. So elu hofchem p'neim ve'elach v'ochlin ve'elu hofchem p'neim ve'elach v'ochlin. They could each face their own direction. V'hamecham be'emsa. And they could have a hot water urn in the middle that they use to dilute their wine. V'hamecham be'emsa. It could be in the middle. And they could share it. And even though the Karban Eda says that's more, it creates like a hefsik between the two groups, that's okay. You could have the hefsik. Ukshashamish ome limzo kofetzes piv. And when there's a waiter that's serving both of them, when he goes to dilute the wine in each one, he should close his mouth. Umachzer es panav asher magia etzel chaburos avocha, until he comes back to his own group of eat. Meaning he, what's the issue here? Does he have food in his mouth? It's not clear. Maybe he should just not talk, or they shouldn't be choshed him. Look in the Karban Eda. Shol yach shadu shu ochal chabur acheres. Right? You can't eat, one person can't eat in two groups. So at least keep your mouth shut. So it's based on chshad. The Rambam is beferish that he has food in his mouth. And what he means here is that he shouldn't eat in the other chabura. And he comes back and eats. We'll start by the shem maybe next time with the Minchas Chinuch that talks about, is the problem with going out of a chabura going to a different chabura or just going out of your chabura? Right? What if you just take it out of the chabura? Is it already nifsal b'yotze? We'll see. V'akala ofeches paneh v'ochelos. And the kala is allowed, misad tznias, to also turn her face from her own chabura and eat privately. Okay, we'll stop here.